All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
The existence of God from the impossibility of the contrary. The transcendental proof for God's existence is that without him, it is impossible to prove anything.
Let every tongue and every tribe responsive to his call. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Jesus Christ is King.
Take your hand.
Well, again, well, we've already been, we thought we went live before, but now we are live with the Tag Your It podcast. So thank you guys for downloading. I'm Ray Ray.
I'm Dave.
And we got Adam. Hello. Kyle.
And how you doing, Dave?
And there we go. Good. Doing good, sir.
Yes, and we got our special guest today, Tom Askell of Founders Ministries. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Great.
This is Adam. You're talking to actually three guys. I'm David Van Beber, the one who's been emailing you. And I'll let the other two guys introduce themselves.
So I'm Adam. I'm Dave's co-host. And we've got another Adam in the room.
Yeah, I'm Adam Kyle. I'm just an insurance guy that knows these two.
He's protecting us today from burning ourselves with hot coffee. So, well, Dr. Askell, it's so neat to get to talk to you. I want to thank you so much for being willing to set aside some time for us. I know you have a busy schedule, and so it just means the world to me. As I was saying before we got cut off, it's really neat to get to talk to you because I had no clue who you were when I watched the debate you did on that cruise. Well, the debate that never happened debate with Dr. White and the great Cantor brothers. But we could talk about all kinds of things, but we've just kind of wanted to focus everything that we were discussing with you on the podcast. And so with that said, could we just offer a real quick introduction real quick to our audience, and once we do that, then we'll kind of go through some of those questions that I sent you in the email, if that's okay.
Perfect.
All right, go for it, Adam, and give us our introduction of Dr. Askell.
All righty. Well, Tom has served as a pastor of Grace Baptist Church since 1986. Prior to moving to Florida, he served as a pastor and associate pastor of churches in Texas. He has a BS degree in sociology from Texas A&M University in 1979 and has also earned the MDiv and PhD degrees from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. He has served as an adjunct professor of theology for New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, Reformed Theological Seminary, and Midwest Center for Theological Studies and Reformed Baptist Seminary. He is a visiting pastor a visiting professor at the Nicole Institute for Baptist Studies at Reformed Theological Seminary in Orlando, Florida, and an adjunct professor for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary through their Southwest Florida Equip Center. Tom serves as the executive director of Founders Ministries. He and Donna have 10 children, including 3 sons-in-law and a daughter-in-law. They all have 7 grandchildren who absolutely rock.
Welcome, Dr. Askell, to the Tag Your It podcast. We are so privileged to have you.
I'm glad to be here. I did make one correction on the bio, though.
Yes,
I have 9 grandchildren.
You now have 9. That is an amazing blessing.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Couldn't let that go.
Man, that is way, way good, and I am so grateful. God gives us, I read this book that said, a man whose quiver is full is blessed. And so, yes. Well, Dr. Askell, let's just begin. I was really excited when you responded to my email, an invitation to come on, and at that time, I had no clue that there was a storm brewing in our great denomination. Mm-hmm. And when I say great denomination, I actually do mean that. I think that God has used us as Southern Baptist for a great long period of time, and I hope that his plan is to continue to use us as a denomination. But with these things that are coming in the background that we know that are bringing us into the annual meeting, kind of share with us and those folks that are listening kind of your thoughts on how you're preparing for the annual meeting and what your thoughts are going into it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Steve Gaines is our outgoing president this year, has asked Southern Baptist to join him in 21 days of prayer leading up to the convention. So I've been praying for our convention and praying for him specifically. No doubt there will be many parliamentary procedures that will require great skill and wisdom to navigate. And so I've asked God to help him with that. And I've also just prayed that God would give us a real spirit of humility as we discuss some things that we need to talk about that are very, very serious, but they're also very volatile. And if we can do that in humility, I think that would be a win. So I've also just tried to educate myself on what's going on, and I try to keep up with things that are happening in the denomination to some degree. And so being aware of some of the issues and praying for key people that are involved in those issues has been my main way of preparing.
That is amazing stuff. Yeah. Go for it, Adam.
Well, I mean, you know, looking at that recent stuff, you know, what we really had you on here since whenever we contacted you, this hadn't really happened yet. We had you to, we wanted you to come here and talk about Founders Ministries. So this is something that I hadn't really been involved with or knew about until really I saw that video online of between you and James White talking about the controversial issues and stuff like that. And so this is kind of like a dream come true for me because this is what I wanted. I wanted a show since we've been talking about this for the past, I don't know, since December, we've had a few shows on this issue. So whenever I found Founders Ministries in my goings and doings in the SBC, this is what I wanted to bring to light for a lot of people because I'm sure they don't know. There might be a lot of people that don't know about this ministry out there. So what is Founders Ministries? And the big question is, why Founders Ministries?
Yeah, well, a large part of that has to do with our origins. We began in 1982. It was actually a prayer meeting. There were seven men that met together in a hotel room in Euless, Texas, right outside of Dallas. We're all Southern Baptists. Most of us were young. There were three guys that were, I guess, more experienced than the rest of us, two particularly. But we were all inerrantists. We were all committed to the recovery of affirmation of the NMC in the SBC. So in 82, that debate or that battle had just been going on publicly for 3 years. And yet all of us had come to reformed understandings of salvation and had discovered that these things were not the purview of Presbyterians alone, but these doctrines were part of our Baptist heritage as well, particularly Southern Baptist heritage. And we knew that the inerrancy wasn't enough, because at some point you're going to have to say, what does the inerrant scripture actually teach? And what does it teach about the matter of salvation primarily? So we were committed to inerrancy, but we believed that these doctrines of grace were vitally important to be considered as well. So we met together, really not knowing what to do. We said, let's get together and pray, think. We read scripture, we sang, spent a lot of time in prayer, and then that afternoon, we came up with a plan to host a conference. We didn't know if anybody would come, but we had our first conference in 1983. We had about 100 people that showed up in Memphis, Tennessee, and we were amazed there were that many Southern Baptists interested in doctrine that would come to a conference based upon the doctrines of grace. So the enthusiastic response of that led to us to continue on. We knew that the gospel needed to be clarified and needed to be reasserted, rediscovered in many places, and that local churches needed to be biblically reshaped in order to attain greater spiritual health. So that's been our real focal point, is recovering the gospel and the renewal of local churches. So everything that we've done since then grew out of those convictions. Those convictions have been something we've maintained. There's a variety of things that we've done through the years to promote that.
Very cool. Cool. Dr. Askall, this is Adam Kyle here. I go to a Reformed Baptist church here in Springfield. We have a plurality of elders. We hold the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith. I was actually talking to one of my elders about you today, and he's a big fan. He's read several of your books. Having said that, I don't think we are on the founder's website. Can you talk about what the benefit is for pastors to be involved with your ministry?
Yeah, well, you know, we've had lots of people try to persuade us to become a denomination or an association over years, and we've maintained the status of just kind of a loose network of pastors and churches. And so you can actually get on the website and list your church if you are in a substantive agreement with a recognized confession of faith. We're 1689.
Yeah.
But you don't have to sign off on that to be on the website. The value of getting on there is that when people travel or people looking to refer friends in different areas of the nation, really around the world, to churches, it's a good resource to find out that there's a church that's friendly toward founders' ministries and our concerns in that area. Beyond that, man, we'd love to have pastors involved because there's a great need, as you guys know, for ongoing doctrinal upgrade and an ongoing spiritual renewal. And we're committed to that. And so there's this value in fellowship and networking with brothers who are committed to those same goals. So we would welcome anyone and everyone to come and join us and get involved to whatever degree that they're comfortable with.
Yeah, so Founders Ministries, you know, it's not just a network of, say, existing churches that have come to these, you know, sort of same conclusions as, you know, you guys in that room. What else does Founders Ministries do?
Yeah, well, we have a journal that we've published now, I forget how many years, but long time. It's now electronic. It started out as print paper. And that's a quarterly publication, more scholarly articles. They're not all high scholarship, but they're all very carefully researched and more long-form type of articles. So that comes out every 3 months. That's available and a great resource. Tons of good articles for you to use there. We've also put up older works online, and so before these became more accessible as they have been in recent years, we've had Dagg's Manual of Theology, his Manual of Church Order, Voices, Abstract Systematic Theology, and other works like that that you could actually take and download from our site. We have a blog that's been very active for probably 12, 13 years, maybe now. And so there are regular articles being added to that every week, and it's a great resource for just more contemporary type of issues, assessing those from a theological perspective. We also have Sunday school helps that are written every week that go along with two of the lightweight published adult Sunday school curricula.
So you do, I just want to make sure I've got that right. So each week you all do two helps that go with the Lifeways published Sunday school curriculum. I'm assuming probably that's Gospel right. Project that would work with the Gospel.
No, we don't do that.
No. Okay.
No, we don't do that. We do the, I forget what it's called.
Exploring the Bible. Exploring the Bible.
And I want to thank you for that because that has benefited me because I've taught Sunday school class with the Exploring the Bible. Mm-hmm. And just what, I don't know, the things that was brought out. And I think I went there through the Acts study that Danny Aiken put out this past, that was fall or something.
Yeah,
like
that was fall. Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to say thank you, you know, to the whole Founders Ministry team for putting something like that together, because that's awesome.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to interrupt you there, sir. I apologize, but I heard that and I was like excited. I didn't even know that that was the case. So very, very cool.
It's one of the best hidden gems that exists. Can you imagine have Tom Bettles writing his thoughts on every lesson in the curriculum for a year that you're going through in adult Sunday school class?
And are those backlogged too? By any
okay.
Good. The only reason I ask is because our church is real cheapy, and we just we don't follow the date. We just like teach through the book. So some of our classes are like, and I'm not exaggerating, like almost a year behind because they go so slowly through the material. And so I can direct some of our folks to the backlogs. That's great. So.
Absolutely. We also publish books, and we've been doing that for, I think, about 12, 15 years. We just recently published Rich Barcellus's book, Getting the Garden Right, which is an excellent, wonderful, friendly critique, ongoing critique, dialogue with New Covenant Theology. And Fred Malone had a Seth Strip that was written in his honor, published in his honor, Essays on Exalting Christ. It is our most recent title. We've got a commentary on Colossians that's just come down as well by Baruch Meaz, who's a Jewish Reformed Baptist minister in Israel. And we've got another book coming out this summer. It's it'll be a hard copy of a book I wrote a couple of years ago critiquing the traditionalists. Statement on the doctrine of salvation.
Oh man, I would really like that one.
Yeah.
We definitely want to have that on there.
Yeah,
sure. Well, that should be out in a couple of months. We're hoping to have it out for the SBC. We got delayed.
That would be awesome.
And then we've got a couple of other books, manuscripts I'm reading right now. Both of them are just outstanding. So I'm not sure. Hopefully, we'll be able to deal with it. Anyhow, we publish books and we do that in the vein of who we are and the things that we see is needed in our day.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Askall, I've got a quick question here. This isn't on the manuscript that we sent you, but in my generation, I went to a Bible college and everything, and there's this kind of new hyper-ecumenical mindset among people in their 20s about, you know, they say they love the Bible, but they don't want anything outside the Bible. They don't want any creeds or confessions or catechisms. Been talking about the Baptist Catechism, the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith. Why are these important? Why do all Christians need to recognize these and at least be aware that they exist and read through them?
Well, I've interacted with people like that as well, and the reality is everyone, believer, non-believer, atheist, Christian, everyone has a creed, at least one. And so it's better to have a creed that you have thoughtfully considered and are intentionally confessing. And that's what we promote within Christianity at its healthiest, is confessional.
Mm-hmm.
Without the confessional element, you lose dimensions of faith that protect it and center. So we advocate being confessional. I encourage every pastor to either adopt a confession of faith or write his own confession of faith that he can say and declare to other people, this is what I believe. The confessions serve the church so well. Our local church, we have 1689. And it's just a good guide. You know, we refer to it. When people have questions, we encourage them to just look at sections that are in it, study through it, we teach through it. It's something that all of our elders and deacons sign off on. They stand before the congregation. Yes, and we believe this confession is a good confession of faith. It teaches what the Bible, in essence, teaches on these areas it addresses. All of our Sunday school teachers and ministry leaders have to say that they are in substantive agreement with this confession. And so what that does is it keeps us from having to reinvent the wheel every time we want to do something or develop a new ministry. Or when somebody comes to us, you know, we've had this happen recently, it happens periodically, well, people will come and they'll have their own pet views of things, and they'll say, hey, why aren't you open to talking about this? So when we are very open to talking about it, you need to understand that we're not coming to this neutral. We're coming to this with pre-commitments. They are. And some people say, well, that's narrow-minded. It's not narrow-minded. It's something that we've done very thoughtfully, and we're willing to be convinced contrary to what we confessed, but you're going to have to do it with the Bible, from the Bible, and you have to do it knowing that we're not going to sit down with you neutral. We're sitting down with you already convinced, so you're going to have to move us off of our convictions. And we hope that that would happen if somebody could make a biblical case, but we've thought through these things pretty carefully, and we stand on the shoulders of those who have also thought really carefully.
I really like that, and so many good things there about having each of your Sunday school teachers, your deacons, any person in leadership signing off on that confession and reading that confession is an amazing thing.
I bet that creates a lot of church unity.
Oh my goodness.
Which really the arguments against it are, you know, doctrine divides, and these confessions, they just divide people, but if all your leadership at a church agree to the same things, you know, that really is something that creates a lot more unity than division at the end of the day.
It does. It does, and we don't require people who are seeking membership to say they agree with this confession, because we have new believers, we have some believers that are limited in their abilities to study.
So mm-hmm. I got a little bit here. I want to give you just a brief bit of background. Of the three of us here, I am a pastor of a Southern Baptist church, more of a rural Southern Baptist church. We average, you know, around 130 to 150 on a Sunday morning. And I've been there for 3 years. It's my first full-time pastorate. And Adam Kyle here is a elder in training, and same thing here with Adam Cochran, Ray. And the issue that I kind of want to ask you about and just kind of want to negotiate, you know, about a year ago, I began to have some conflicts in my church. And when I came, I was very open. And I'm sure you've heard this story before. I was very open about my Reformed theology. But when people started to have, well, got over the honeymoon stage of me being pastor, they decided to start attacking my Reformed traditions. And I was floored because I had been really straightforward, tried to be as honest as I could, and just basically said straight up in my interview, I'm a 5-point Calvinist. Not basically, I said that, and so is my wife, and we said that because we wanted to be honest. But you've heard a lot of different stories, I'm sure, just like this. Young pastor comes in, he's Reformed, things are going good, then all of a sudden they'll turn someone's Reformed theology on it, or someone will get on a website or a blog and start, oh, well, gosh, this new movement here. What is your word to pastors, to aspiring elders, to elders in training as they begin to move forward and possibly seek a leading role in a pastorate somewhere? Like, what would you say is the best way to begin to negotiate some of the issues that we find ourselves in currently as a Southern Baptist Convention?
Yeah, well, it takes wisdom and humility, and so the most important thing would be to pray, ask God to direct your steps, because so many situations can come up, and there's just no script for it. Mm-hmm. You need wisdom and good judgment in the moment. But to help with that, talk to guys who are further down the road than you. I have avoided many mistakes by making phone calls to brothers that I trust, who are experienced, who are wise, and they've helped me. And so I would just encourage guys to not forget that resource that exists. But then be honest. Don't try to be deceptive at all. Of course, that's what we're accused of being by people who say, well, we didn't know you believed this, or you didn't say these things when you came in. But the reality is, for most search committees or most churches in the Southern Baptist Convention, if a candidate for the pastor were to say to them, I'm a 5-point Calvinist, or I believe in 6 and 8 by profession, they wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because they're not able to have those kinds of conversations. And that is just a reflection on the doctrinal need of the day and what has been lacking doctrinally over the last several generations. So you need to be wise. You don't want to be deceptive, but you need to speak to them according to their capacity to understand. Mm. Yeah. And, you know, why I don't feel compelled to use theological jargon. And even now, I've been in my church 32 years, and I don't feel any need to go around talking about Calvinism or Reformed theology. I'm not hesitant about it, but it's just, when I'm preaching, I rarely use that kind of language. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage guys to stick to Scripture, preach mm-hmm. expositionally. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that guys, especially young men, need to be aware of is that if you're going into a typical Southern Baptist or evangelical church in our day and age, and you are trying to lead it to more to healthier streams doctrinally and spiritually, it is most likely not going to happen without a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to resign yourself to that. And if it doesn't happen, praise God, you're the exception. But when it happens, don't be blown away by it, because many of our churches are filled with unregenerate people.
Yes.
And they've been sitting on the church rolls, and some of them sitting in the pews for decades. And when the Word of God begins to be taught and explained and applied in discriminating ways, those unregenerate people will either get right with God, be converted, or they will try to, they'll leave because they don't want to hear the message anymore, or they'll try to silence the messenger. And some of the meanest people I've ever met have been Baptists.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yep.
I mean, it's sad, you know, but it's a fact. And, and so what I want to encourage guys is, man, don't be blown away by that. Just realize this is the faithful gospel minister that way, then you're going to have to be prepared for those kinds of battles. And that's okay. Our Lord was slaughtered on the cross, so we should not feel like we've done something unusual if people try to slaughter us. Try to be faithful to the Lord, to be as wise as we can be, but realize our master was crucified. And so that's the way of the cross that we must follow in ministry. And don't quit. Don't quit easily. That happens too often.
Amen.
And we can't afford to do that. You know, Paul told the Corinthians he wanted to come to them, but he was going to be delayed because he had to stay in Ephesus. He said, a wide door of ministry has been opened to me, and there are many who are in opposition. So part of the reason he stayed was because there were opponents still there. And sometimes we look at opposition as a reason to leave. And I would encourage a guy not to leave quickly. Be willing to do hard work and shepherd the true sheep that are there. Because most churches do have true Christians in them. And if a man leaves the first time somebody says boo to him, then those true sheep are going to be left without a shepherd.
Amen.
Well, here's just to give it from another vantage point. Say, you know, there's a group of people that end up coming into a church that's, you know, not really knowledgeable. I mean, so a lot of it will end up in ignorance when it comes to if this controversy ever breaks out. But, you know, through this group of people, things are said, time goes by, and then people are like, wait, Calvinism is sneaking into my church, not from the pastor, but from, say, a group of people that they are in the know. So you've got, like, this little cross-section of small amount of people in a big congregation, but, you know, because of this small group of people that's just came in, and, I mean, when are we thinking about the Young Restless Reform movement? This could happen anywhere. They might be young enough to where they're not going to the church for their theology. They're joining a church. They happen to be a group of people that are bringing this into the church. So again, this is not a pastor preaching it from the pulpit, but it's coming from the other way. How could, like, what kind of resources could a pastor get a hold of if he finds himself with this controversy in his congregation because it's coming in? So you got the original congregation that really doesn't understand what's going on. You got some people here that might be teaching Sunday school classes by now. These ideas are getting in there, you know, and I guess when it comes down to it, and this would be a familiar situation for me, is you'd have this older generation going, well, I want to know what Baptists believe, you know, so I'm not here to be a Calvinist, I'm not here, I want to know what the Bible says, and I want to know how the Baptists have, what they've always believed, and this is where, you know, that time with James White, and I think it was the video about the debate that never was,
right,
where you came in and kind of gave a little bit of history. So is there any sort of resources that people could get a hold of that would be able to go, here's American Baptist history, here's what's going on, so that we could actually have a discussion without having the fight?
Yeah, well, let me give you three resources off the top of my head. The most thorough would be Tom Nettles' By His Grace and For His Glory, which is a history of the doctrine of grace in Baptist life. That's a Founders Press book that you can get off our website. A second one is a Lifeway published book by Timothy George called Amazing Grace. It was one of the doctrinal studies of the SBC many, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago or so now, 15 years ago. And he looks at Arminianism and Calvinism, and he traces the history in a very popular way. So you can put that in the hands of anybody in your church that can read it. They can see Lifeway published it. Know that, you know, this is authentic SBC stuff. The third resource that might be of some use to you is a little book I wrote called From the Protestant Reformation to the Southern Baptist Convention, What Does Geneva Have to Do with Nashville? That's a short book that's also somewhat accessible.
And that's available on the Founders website, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In our bookstore on the website.
Yes, and there is like an older PDF file, I think, that I haven't read it yet, but I know there's like a little short version of a PDF that's free, but then there's also the fuller version that you actually buy in the book, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
Lifeway also wrote another book, it's published another book. It's just called Calvinism. It's on the history of Calvinism in the SBC. I own it. I have not read it, so I don't know how good it is, but they did publish one.
Is that the one about building bridges? founders did a conference with Lifeway and Southeastern Seminary many years ago, and the papers from that conference were published. And I think it is a green book. Is it green?
Yeah, it's green. Yeah, that's it.
That's the one. That's got papers in it. They were not high scholarship.
Yeah.
They are somewhat scholarly. So you probably wouldn't be able to put that in the hands of a lot of people in your church. Though the studied ones or ones willing to read, you know, can certainly handle it. It's not dense. But anyway, yeah. So that's, and it's uneven because it's essays written by different guys, obviously.
Do you have another question, Adam?
No.
So here's one of the things, and I really appreciate your time, sir. Thank you so much. I know you've got a lot you've got to be prepared for to go to the convention yourself. And so let me kind of, I want to end on a hopeful note, because I truly believe that God does have a bright future for the Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. I think about the guys that I went to seminary with. I think about these gentlemen that I'm sitting down with. The fact that I know there will be numerous guys my age who are making their way down to Dallas, and they're excited about reaching people with the gospel. And I think part of that does have an impact from the new reform movement, but kind of give me what you think are some of the most hopeful things that we can look forward to. You know, you got three guys here. There are all types of people, that many pastors I meet who are my age. And what do we, and what should we be, again, hopeful about and optimistic about truly about our convention? And how does Founders melt into that too, if that makes any sense?
Well, yeah, I regularly tell people, if you want to take a snapshot of the SBC right now, we could spend decades picking out all the faults and problems we see in the picture.
Mm.
There's a lot mm-hmm. of blemishes. But if you put that as a frame on a video over the last 35 years, it's amazing. It's an amazing story of what God has done. Excuse me. There's been a significant theological upgrade over the last three decades. Mm. And there are things that especially young guys, you may have heard about them, but many of the young guys haven't even heard about them. We don't have, with all the problems we've got today, we don't have any of our professors of theology in our seminaries taking a copy of the Bible and throwing it in the garbage when he begins his lectures on the authority of Scripture. Nobody's doing that.
That's right.
We don't have any ethics professors that are advocating abortion on demand or mm-hmm. advocating for homosexual, lesbian lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, I mean, just praise God. Those are good things. They've been serious theological upgrade. You got younger guys that are doing a really good job in so many places. I'm encouraged with Midwestern Seminary, Jason Allen, who's gone there. That seminary just seems to be.
Dr. Allen's awesome.
Yeah, you have three guys that are big time Midwest. Yeah. I'm a Midwestern alumnus.
I start in the fall.
Yeah, and Adam starts here in the fall. And
I have been there once. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys, there's some sharp young men there.
That, amen.
There's some older guys too. I'm just very encouraged with what the board's doing there. Our North American Mission Board is the disaster relief. When disaster hits in North America, Southern Baptists are there before the Red Cross mm-hmm. gets yep. there, after the Red Cross leaves. And there's so much done so well in the name of Jesus through that ministry. Our International Mission Board.
Yes.
We got great guys. I mean, David Platts has left. We'll be needing a replacement. Pray God will bring somebody that'll be just the right person for that job. But we've got people like Gordon Ford, who've been giving his life to this, Zane Pratt. Both of them are in the upper levels of administration. Both of them solid missionary men, and they love Christ, they think well, mm-hmm. and committed to getting the gospel to the hardest places on earth. I praise God for that. I mean, we've got thousands of missionaries across the world, and with all of our blemishes and all of our shortcomings, there are many good things for which we can praise God, and it ought to keep us moving forward in the right direction and not giving up and not getting into despair, but also not just settling to let problems remain problems.
That's right.
Because what's at stake is too great.
You know, I've been a pastor now for 6 years. I was so fortunate to get to go to Midwestern and to graduate right before Dr. Allen got there. Was when I graduated. So I was there, and I go back and I see the change. When I got there, it was a different seminary than it is today. And when I go there, every time I'm excited, but I'm not excited thinking, oh, hey, I'm going to come be some superstar in the SBC. I get excited thinking, man, God's called me to my place of ministry and to my church. And my church, little rural country church, allows this podcast to be an extension of what I'm doing. And there are guys from my church and some folks that don't even come all that frequently will say, hey, we just listened to the podcast. We loved it. And I'm excited that God is using a place like Midwestern to, and Southern is the same, and a Southwestern, I'm certain, and, you know, Southeastern the same, and it's not Golden Gate anymore, it's, what is it, not Golden Gate,
I can't remember.
They changed their name, formerly Golden Gate Seminary, the seminary formerly known as Golden Gate, so many good things, and I imagine that that focus on the local pastor, doing what God has called him to do, being the one who grinds is something that even you have inspired me in the short time I've known about you. And so I want to thank you for that. We want to be so mindful of your time. Adam, who would like to close us out here with a question to kind of end on?
I've got a quick one. What do you think is the prognosis for the Reformed faith in the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, again, I could use my snapshot and video analogy. But the reality is, my conviction is God's truth is unkillable.
Amen.
Balthazar of Meyer on that. And so the truth will always prevail. It may not look like it for a while, and it may suffer in the streets for a while, but God's going to vindicate his own cause.
Correct.
So people talk about wanting to be on the right side of history. Well, I don't know. You know, history's been wrong so many times. What I want us to be careful about is let's stick to the text. What does the Bible say?
Mm-hmm.
And let's be unashamed to make that known. And I think Reformed theology does that better, obviously, than others, or I would not be where I am theologically. So I believe the truth will win out, and I hope we can do that graciously, humbly, because if we really believe in what we teach and say we believe, we ought to be the most gracious people around.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's not always the case. So, God help us with that.
Yeah.
Well, I was disappointed that they did not have you in Calvinist the documentary. I think that we were at a loss.
That would have been nice.
As a good SBC guy, I was disappointed in that. While we did have some good representatives, but I just want to thank you. And Adam, I'll let you guys say thank you to Dr. Askell, and we'll probably let you go, sir. Thank you so much.
Well, again, to me, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you, especially as just you're in a layman's basement, and I get to, you know, this is just an awesome thing that Christ has brought us together, despite where you are at and where I'm at. So I thank you again for being such a humble person to be able to, you know, to come in on a little podcast like this and talk.
Absolutely.
And I hope, you know, the goal is that whoever we reach, you know, here's the cordialness of what Imago Dei people
Absolutely.
Should be doing. So thank you again, Tom, for being on here.
My joy. Thank you guys for inviting me. Y'all keep pressing on out there in the Midwest.
We will.
Yeah, and Dr. Askell, Adam Kyle here, just want to say thanks again. I'm going to be talking to my elders at my church, I think, after learning more about the ministry. We would like to do more to partner with you all, order resources, and at least subscribe to, you know, your publications that you send out. Because I haven't known about your Founders Ministry for very long, but I absolutely love what I see. So.
Well, thank you. Let me just mention, we will be at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Awesome.
Founders will, in the exhibit area. So if you guys are there, if you know anybody that's going, send them by.
Okay.
We enjoy giving them a free book and talking to them a little bit.
Cool.
All right. That's right. Awesome. And I was to say, thank you from my dad. You guys sent him a book in 1982, and he really appreciated it. So, brother, you take care. Enjoy enjoy the convention, and we will be praying for it. So, talk to you later.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you heard it from the man himself. They will be at the Southern Baptist Convention. So,
and Adam, you're going to have to roll because I know your time is important.
Yes.
And so thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Brother, we're so grateful. I knew that you'd enjoy that discussion.
Yeah, it was great.
Again, there was a question earlier. Who is this guy? This is Adam Kyle. He's an insurance guy, but he's also he was a moderator of our debate at Glenstone Baptist.
Yeah.
And he was also on an episode, and I don't know the number, but it was about the Unity Church.
Episode four or five.
Yeah, he was really early.
And let me just say this too, real quick. Adam has been a massive supporter of us, and that's one reason I wanted to make sure he got here. And he's going to be filling in for me a little bit later in the summer for certain times that I might be gone. So thank you, Adam.
Yeah,
I'll switch chairs with you.
Alrighty.
We're going to take a break real quick, and then we will reconvene in a short amount of time.
Well, welcome back, guys. We took our little 5 minutes to get Adam Kyle out of here with a wonderful final greetings, you know, just like a good Pauline letter. Anyway, thanks for coming back. But really, that was a great
Man, that
great
was so cool
I
to
mean,
talk to.
Yeah.
I want to point this out because I don't know if you get as much of the tone that I get. When Dr. Askell is talking, it's a confident humility.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an animosity. It's not a, let me show you how stupid you are. It's an amazing example for, hey, in love, God has put this conviction on my heart, and I have a desire to see other people have a deep love for doctrinal truth that is going to impact my family, my community. And I think that's really where it needs to be for all of us.
Yeah, yeah. And then the ministry that he has, I mean, there. If you look in the store, he's even got like little kids books, workbooks and stuff where they can work through this kind of stuff at home. And so, I mean, it's encouraging to families. And so, like, you know, if when we look at this ministry that he's a part of, you know, it's not just him, it's other guys too. Tom's just the face I know.
Yeah.
And so it's just really, really wanted to drive home that this ministry is in the SBC. From my understanding, the past couple of years, just coming to knowing what the SBC is, how it works, what's going on. That's just what the SBC does. It seems like it looks out into the world. Okay, what's going on? What are other people doing? Okay, let's make an entity like that ourselves. Or if somebody comes up with an idea for an entity that's sponsored pretty much by the SBC. And so, you know, Founders is a great entity for people like you and me.
Yeah.
Say you find yourself in an area where, you know, Reformed theology stays in ignorance, where people have no clue and you feel like you're the only one. Well, here's a ministry for you that you can get a part of. Like you said, there's journals. So if you find yourself more academic than people around you, well, here's some materials that they're SBC. You know, it's you got that label on there, you know, you're okay. You know, whenever you start talking about it with people, you can be like, hey, here's an SBC entity, we can work together.
You know,
and so you get that more, you get that, you can have that togetherness, unity. Hey, we don't understand each other, you know, but then hopefully you want to drive the spirit of education with that humility versus humiliation.
You know, so what I really like that, those three books that he pointed us to. I'm going to have to go back and re-listen because I want to purchase those and I want to hand those to people that are confused or scared.
Yeah.
To be able to have that on hand, be like, oh, hey, check this out. Again, they are works that were created in humility, but in a great love for God's word and a desire for people to recognize that as Baptists, we have been people who are Great Commission people, most importantly.
Because the big question we need to ask ourselves is, how did we end up where we are today?
Excellent.
You know, you had Christ die in 33. That's even, you know, I'm just going to use that for this illustration. He died in 33 AD. He went up. He sent the Spirit. And then we've had nothing but just people inundating the world with the gospel.
Yeah.
And so do we look exactly like the church in Jerusalem? And then on into Asia and all that stuff, you know, do we look like that, you know? And so you got to look at through history, there's a context and stuff like that. And so, and I think the big driver in this discussion is, what have Baptists believe? And that's why I asked that question.
Yeah,
that's why
and I really thought it was great.
Because I've heard that question being asked. What do Baptists believe throughout the history? You know, we get to, you know, whenever we're talking about Calvinism, it usually ends up at Charles Spurgeon. So we're in England, but we came over to America and we've had, you know, it's a worldwide issue. It's a worldwide context of total subcontext that this Baptist thing has grown in. So I, you know, that's the, why are we having this discussion today? Why are we having fights? Why are we doing all this? Is there church history? And this is why church history is important.
That's not on, so you don't have to look at it. Yeah,
that's why it's important. So it's not just knowing who Martin Luther was. It's not just knowing that, like, we can talk about people from 100 years ago. We need to know about them. You know, like, today we need to know who Herschel Hobbes is.
Yeah, we do.
If you don't know about that, then you're not going to be in the discussion. You know, if you don't know who Billy Graham is, so you need to know, because all those people have come before us, and that's why James White uses the expression, we stand on the backs of giants. That's why he said we stand on people's shoulders.
Yeah.
And then that's why confessions are important. That's why. And so, like, now hopefully you're seeing this multi-perspective issue. This is why we are. And so definitely getting those, you know, I'm going to buy them all three. I like I said, I had the one little thing, but, you know, getting these sort of things so that we can have the conversation, so that we can, as Paul says in Ephesians, bear with each other in love until we, you know, he sent teachers and all these gifted people to us until we get to the unity of faith.
So I just have to laugh. Yeah. We've already gotten in, like, how many episodes have we live cast, like, since we put in the new camera? What, 5 or 6?
Something like
maybe
that.
10? Maybe 10? We've already gotten used to looking at the camera and talking, which is so cool. Yeah. Even though we're not live casting this, this is actually just a little extra stuff that you get, those of you who are actually listening
this
to
the
podcast.
This is the bonus material for the people that take the time
to listen to the podcast.
iTunes or CastBox and download the podcast and listen.
So let me just say a few things real quick. Next week, again, it will be a weekly thing. Next week, we will have Tim Carter, and he's going to visit with our audience about his paper that he presented back in April at the International Society of Christian Apologetics about Christian mysticism. Yeah. We're really excited to have him on. Gosh, this will be the fourth time that he's on, and so that's a really cool thing. And we just want to encourage you. You know, we've been excited that last week or 2 weeks ago it was the Tag Your It podcast was added to the media group that is part of the Baptist Review. If you have not got on and liked the Baptist Review, it is a great tool for me. I ask questions on there, get great responses, and it's a great way to connect with other pastors and other leaders in the church. So I want to encourage you to get on Facebook and like the Baptist Review. We are now a partner with them. And so maybe some of you are actually listening to the podcast for the very first time,
so
because
thank
it
you.
Was on. Yes. Thank you.
And I'm sorry that I haven't made such a presence or anything, but it's been awesome to see all the posts and the Willie Drake stuff. And, you know, I'm learning. So thank you guys from the Baptist Review for partnering with us. And we help. Again, I always want to be a help and not a hindrance.
That's right.
Whatever you guys, if you're listening from the review, please tell us how we can help using this podcast to further the gospel, just as, you know, how is the Baptist Review furthering the gospel in and of itself? Because that's the question that we should always be asking about whatever we do. So if you guys have any critiques of what we do, send them in. Like,
this is, please.
We don't
ideas for a show
don't
because we're still learning, too. We've only been podcasting for a year now. What this is our 40-something.
I've got, you know what?
I got us off track, too.
I can do my homework, but I'm making it even easier. I'm just going to start labeling the episodes as what it is. So last week's was God and Guns.
Yeah, I liked it.
So no episode whatever. It was just Tag Your It Podcast, God and Guns. So this week will be Tom Askell and maybe some end ramblings.
So end ramblings is great. Let me just say one thing. Like, I was thinking about this as I was coming over, how exciting it's been. For a year now, we've done this. And even if there's 10 people who have listened to us, I've had a whole bunch of fun, and I've been sharpened by this. And so it's been such a blessing to me. So with that said, I think we've kind of wrapped everything up. I mean, oh, let me say one more thing. I have to put this in. One thing I love that Dr. Askell said in that interview was, I have learned a lot by going to other pastors.
Yeah.
Not only is that important for pastors, I think that that's important for each of us. And the other thing he said, don't quit.
Don't quit.
Don't quit.
Don't quit.
And to me, that just speaks everything, because Paul was a don't quit, not because of his own strength, but because of the strength of Christ.
Yes.
And so as an apologist, if you're an apologist, don't quit. If you are working in evangelism, don't quit, but move forward in God's strength, because we have true hope. We have the real stuff. We have a lot to be positive
about. Don't quit, because God is not, in his revelation, he has not given us a stop date.
That's right.
Until we die. So, you know, don't quit what you're doing. preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, defend the gospel. Amen. Be that disciple that you were called to be, because you were called out of this world and set apart to be holy. And that's the awesome thing, that as an individual, we get to realize that about ourselves. We get to know that about ourselves. We're not just in a fishbowl trying to find around, you know, look around and find out who we are by the reflection in the glass on the outside. Like, we know who we are.
That's right.
From the bad to the given awesome stuff. We know who we are. So go and tell people that they're made in the image of God and hear the gospel. That's all you can do. Oh, Dave.
Sorry.
But anyway, with that, I think that's a good ender of the show. So guys, again, thanks for downloading the podcast and being a part of and support. Continue with the, you know, we got the Apollocon thing going.
Yes, and we have an exciting summer. We've got a lot of work to do on Apollocon. I've fallen behind, but we will catch up. I promise.
Yes. So keep us in prayer for that. But other than that, this is the Tag Your It Podcast. I'm Ray Ray.
I'm Dave.
And this is Soli.
Deo.
Gloria.
I justify myself time and time again. I'll find a way to feel better, but it never satisfies. It makes it hard to love myself, and that's because I'm not loving.